Welcome to the HSD podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Vice President, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Beth Lurie, Compliance Director and Corporate Compliance Officer for Lifecare Services. Beth is charged with overseeing the healthcare compliance programs for our skilled nursing facilities. Today's program is part 3 of 10, where we are reviewing the CMS Compliance and Ethics Program. Welcome back, Beth.
Thanks, Laura. As you know, I started this 10-part series in March of this year, starting with the introduction and why we need the program, and then covering the elements of the CMS Final Rule Compliance and Ethics Program that constitute its foundation.
Well, speaking of those elements, how about a quick refresher on the specific elements of the full program?
Okay. So as people know, the deadline for this is effective November 28th, 2019, when every nursing facility must have in place a compliance and ethics program. And the program has to address at least 8 elements. And these 8 elements are, 1, it must have standards, policies, and procedures. 2 is a high-level compliance officer, which we're going to cover today. 3 is it must have sufficient resources. 4 is that due diligence must be exercised. 5 is there must be effective communication of the program. 6 is there must be reasonable steps to achieve compliance. 7 is there must be consistent enforcement of the program. And 8 is there must be responsiveness in this program.
Okay, and as you said, today we're going to be talking about level 2, which is a high-level compliance officer. So what are the details of what our listeners might need to know about element 2?
All right. So the company needs to assign specific individuals within the, what they call the high level personnel of the operating organization that has overall responsibility to oversee compliance with the operating organization's compliance and ethics programs, standards, policies, and procedures. So this high level personnel is an individual who has substantial control over the company or a substantial role in making the policy within the company. So examples of high-level personnel, they differ according to each company structure, but they could include like the executive director, an executive officer, an individual in charge of a major business or functional unit, or an individual with substantial ownership interest in the company. At Lifecare Services, we've elected to call the high-level personnel the compliance officer. Technically, this compliance officer title is used when an operating organization operates 5 or more nursing facilities. But we feel using the title of compliance officer aligns with our other regulatory officer titles a nursing facility uses, like the grievance officer, the privacy officer, the security officers. And just know sometimes these titles may also be called officials. But the other thing to know is here at Lifecare Services, we plan on using the executive director as the compliance officer for the nursing facilities Lifecare Services manages. The compliance officer is going to be involved in setting up any new compliance and ethics program, including all the pieces of the program discussed in the Compliance and Ethics Program. Once it's set up, the compliance officer then has the ongoing role in running the program, recommending improvements when needed, and then regularly reporting to the governing board on its progress.
Well, thanks for clarifying that, because I know that sometimes in our communities, we're asked if a specific department head could be the compliance officer. But after hearing what you're saying, our plans at LCS is that the executive director should be the designated compliance officer. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right.
Okay, so what are some examples or ideas about how that executive director or compliance officer would fulfill his or her duties?
Well, the first thing is the OIG manual, which every LCS nursing facility should have in place, and the annual surveys that we provide for our communities with the nursing facilities, those are designed to prepare the compliance officer to design, implement, and maintain a compliance program. So that old adage of all that is new is the same again. And then the other thing to help the compliance officer fulfill his or her duties under the CMS final rules, I created a sample compliance officer checklist, which is part of the new LCS compliance and ethics guide. And if anybody wants to see that checklist, they can contact me. My email address is loribeth@lcsnet.com or 515-875-4671. Additionally, what the compliance officer should do is create an internal compliance committee. And this committee should regularly be involved with helping to set up, operate, maintain, and revise the company's compliance and ethics program. And that's because the privacy officer can't do this alone. So this internal compliance committee would assist the compliance officer in fulfilling his or her duties. Now, the thing to know is that while a formation of an internal compliance committee is recommended, the company really must determine whether the creation of it is useful and practical, because as you know, a committee that is formed but not used deters from the effectiveness of a compliance and ethics program.
So in that example, then, when we talked about a department head could sit on the committee. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. And I think that we can have further discussion on who should sit at the table. You definitely would want healthcare personnel there, risk people, the compliance officer will need to think through who can be on that committee. But okay. Like I said, if they're going to set up the committee, use the committee.
Well, I want to thank you, Beth, for all of this good information. And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us today as we conclude the third podcast on the second element regarding CMS compliance and ethics program. Next month, we're going to discuss the third element, which is sufficient resources. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks, everyone. Join us next time.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.